God, I love this movie.
Oh man,
I love this goddamn movie. I think I've burned through like two different copies of this film.
Okay.
On DVD.
Yeah.
Like I watched it so many times. It was so funny. Welcome.
Welcome in to That Movie Show.
To That Movie Show.
Mike Wendt, Liam Stryker.
Yes.
Bill Neville. And this is Basketball.
Basketball.
The 1998 classic.
Yeah. Sure.
Basketball.
Sure.
Basketball.
Before they had the clout to make this movie themselves, yeah. The creators of South Park.
Well, we'll get into it a little bit because it's a collaboration of the people who made The Naked Gun,
yeah.
And Airplane,
yes.
With the creators of South Park that
yeah.
brought together this this classic of cinematic history.
Yep.
Basketball.
Basketball. I absolutely love it. I also absolutely love Naked Gun and Airplane.
I agree.
Hot Shots. Hot Shots Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
That entire...
Not so much the later Scary Movie series, but, it is what it is.
Well, the worst part about that is, and we'll talk about this when we get into the film, but there's a scene that's lifted from this film
mm-hmm.
That's just in Scary Movie 3.
Oh, okay.
And it was, it's either in 3 or 4.
I have definitely purged both from my memory. So
yeah.
You're going to have to let me in on that one.
But I remember distinctly being mad at that movie when it happened because it's beat for beat the same. It's the same.
It's basically
scene.
A baseball scene.
It's the scene after.
Why don't you just spoil it for us?
Yeah, it's the scene after Coop doesn't hit the third home run after mm-hmm. they spent the entire day with Joey drinking.
Okay.
And he misses it, and so Joey's in the hospital.
Yep.
So they go to visit him in the hospital, and they think he's dead.
Okay.
Because they accidentally take out his EKG machine.
Sure.
And so it's like he's flatlining.
Okay.
So they're like, oh my God, we gotta save him. And so they pretend to check the pulse. The pulse isn't there because he's checking the wrong body part.
Sure.
And the same scene is lifted.
He's brilliantly checking his ankle, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And
this is actually in Scary Movie.
And it's in Scary Movie 3. Brenda dies.
Or 4.
I'm pretty sure it's 3, though. So Brenda dies, they go to the wake, and I forget the guy's name, but he's basically playing Eminem from 8 Mile.
Sure.
And they go, it's awake, George. And he's just like, she's awake!
Was Charlie Sheen in this?
Charlie Sheen was not in this scene.
In this movie.
I believe.
Because he was in some of the sequels.
Yeah.
Because it was like
yeah.
6 of them.
It's the one that's also Signs. So the third one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the third one. Because it's 8 Mile. But Kevin Hart's in it. Yeah,
you're not helping anybody here.
Yeah, but again, they go to Brenda's funeral or her wake. They say to the character George,
because Brenda is Anna Faris's black friend.
Yes.
Okay.
And they go, she's awake. It's awake, George. And she goes, she's awake. And they recreate that whole scene where he tries to resuscitate her.
Right.
And it doesn't it doesn't work.
All right, I'm gonna pull up the IMDb's just for shits and giggles of Scary Movie 3 and 4.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
because
it's 3.
That's what everybody wants to hear when they're tuning in for this basketball episode.
Yeah, it's 3.
It's okay.
It's 3.
3 opens with Jenny McCarthy and Pam Anderson.
Yep, and
the scream scene.
That I remember. Yes, the scream
yeah.
scene.
Yeah, and so
and,
the things that
Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards are actually in this.
Yes,
film.
And it's about Signs. Signs is a major part of it,
including Jeremy Piven.
Yep, and what's his name is in it?
That guy,
Leslie Nielsen.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Zuckers have to put Leslie Nielsen in literally everything.
Right.
Anything they can. I was shocked he wasn't in this movie.
Right. But yeah, that scene is lifted wholesale from this film.
Kevin Hart was not in this one.
No?
Nope.
Then I'm thinking of somebody else.
Eddie Griffin and Anthony Anderson were.
I'm thinking of Anthony Anderson then.
And you're right about the Eminem guy who was Simon Rex.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so now we covered that.
Yeah.
Scary Movie 3. We yep. never have to do that movie again.
Yeah, no, we don't have to do it.
Very good. Basketball.
I love basketball. I love basketball. From top to bottom, like I said, I've watched this movie so many times that it's just from top to bottom so funny that there are jokes in here that I find to be hilarious that are throwaways
mm-hmm.
that don't hit with anybody else.
You just mentioned one to me off air that didn't even resonate at all.
Yeah, that's how many times I've seen this movie. So basically the film starts.
So let's do the business part of it. Basketball, of course, directed by David Zucker, produced by David Zucker, Bob Lokesh, and Gil Netter. Written by David Zucker, Bob Lokesh, Jeff Wright, and Lewis Freeman. Starring Trey Parker, Matt Stone, Diem Bahar, and it was coming in at a budget of $23 million, only made $7 million at the box office.
Yeah.
However, I do believe that DVD sales helped this movie a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I think that this movie found a second life on DVD.
It also was released July 31st of 1998. It was a summer movie.
Right.
And it's not a summer blockbuster.
No. I also think that they tried to cash in on South Park a little too early.
Well, actually, one of the famous quotes that's actually in the interview package that's with the DVD is Trey Parker and Matt Stone took this role because they believed at the time South Park would be canceled.
Yeah, right.
They were literally cast the first year of South Park. The first season of South Park, they got this offer, and they're like, yeah, well, our show isn't going to make it. It's a weird cartoon made out of construction paper.
Yeah.
It's not going to fucking
last. Yeah, we're going to cash in. We are going to cash in, not... If this movie was made now, this movie would have been a juggernaut.
Huge.
Would have been a juggernaut.
Huge.
Look at everything else that they've done.
A fun casting fact, the original... so basically, Zucker reached out to Chris Farley first.
Yep.
He passed.
Yeah.
In figuratively and literally, he passed.
Yeah.
he passed. Yikes. He passed on the movie. And the next step was Trey Parker of South Park fame. And the only character that was written was Coop. Was Joe Cooper. And he's like, well, we got to do something for Matt.
Yeah, Matt's got to be in it.
So they created the Reamer character.
Yeah.
And once they cast Matt, they're like, okay, well, you got to cast Dean.
Yeah, right.
So they basically, because they cast the South Park guys, they created the role of Squeak.
Right.
For Dean, who had been in Cannibal, he had been in Orgasmo. His whole career is based off of these guys being friends with him.
Oh, yeah. He's just friends with them, and they throw him in his movie. It's so funny. He does such a good job, and it's weird that he's not in more things.
It is. I mean, he was in Galaxy Quest.
Right, he was in Galaxy Quest, but
he's done a bunch of voices on South Park, obviously.
Right, and that I don't. That's not really what I'm talking about.
I'm sure he's, as he said in an interview, you know, knowing these guys, I've eaten better than I ever had before.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I'm sure he's living a decent life.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's a good actor.
Right, he could have been.
Dean Bahar is a good actor.
He could have been somebody on The Office.
Yes.
Or Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Easily.
And I want to say, and I have no knowledge of this, it's completely me guessing, I want to say it's a personal choice.
Probably.
He probably is enjoying his life wherever he's living, because he even said that when Matt and Trey went out to Hollywood to do South Park, he's like, I didn't follow them. I didn't want to follow them. I was happy where I was living in Colorado, and I just wanted to kind of stay there. He sounds like a small-time guy who's just happy. I could be completely wrong.
Right, you could
and,
be.
And, you know, Dean Bahar, if you're listening, please let us know.
Yeah, you can be on the show.
But, yeah, I feel it's that.
Right. Well,
I feel it's more personal choices than
I think you
than
know,
Hollywood's just not calling, because he's a quality fucking actor.
Right. I think it's a lot more of like I like my lifestyle. I don't want for anything probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't have to deal with the nonsense of the fame
of Hollywood.
Right. You know, and that's a pretty sweet spot to be in.
Not bad.
You know, that's a pretty sweet spot, so
if you're making a decent living.
Right. So the movie starts, and it is the World Series.
Yes.
And Reggie Jackson hits his third home run. In one game, yes. Yeah. In one game.
Fudged a bit of reality on this one, but we'll let it go.
Yeah. And Cooper captures that third home run.
Joe Cooper catches the third home run.
And he's young.
Young Joe Cooper.
Child Joe Cooper.
Wide-eyed, bright-eyed Joe Cooper. You know, Reamer, someday I'm going to be a big sports star.
And then 23 years later, Reamer, one day I'm going to own a big sports bar.
While pissing in a bush.
Yeah, while they're about to go to a high school party.
Not even
a high school like reunion party.
And one they weren't even invited to.
Right.
And not only were they not invited to it, people are so disappointed that they show
there,
up.
That they're there. It's so funny because I use one of these.
Hi, Brittany.
I do use one of these things to describe like one of my old high school friends where it's just like, oh, what are you doing? Hanging out.
Playing Nintendo.
Playing Nintendo. You're like, oh, if you Skidmark Steve.
Skidmark Steve.
Skidmark Steve, what are you doing? You still in your parents' basement playing Nintendo? No, if you must know, I just finished my third PhD, and I'm about to circumnavigate South Africa.
And I'm training for the Olympic Games.
And I'm training for the Olympic Games. What about you two? Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
Cock.
You know, and nobody wants him to be there.
Fantastic use of the word cock, by the way, in this whole opening sequence.
Yes.
From the moment they meet Brittany Kaiser's dad.
Yeah.
It's like, you graduated with Brittany? Of course we graduate, cock.
Beer? And then they just go up to her room.
I love who these guys are.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a shit.
No.
They come into this highfalutin party,
right,
if you will.
They want to try and score with one of the girls they went to high school with.
Literally the girl who's throwing the party.
Yeah.
Brittany Kaiser's house, I really want to fuck her, is a line in the movie.
Yep.
And but they don't care.
No.
They don't give a shit. And I love how sarcastic they are about how little they give a shit.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So they end up
using those 50s sophisticated voices. Hello, Brittany.
Hello, Brittany. Yeah. You know? It's really funny. They end up going up to her room, to what they think is her room.
What they think is her room.
And they try to find her underwear. And one of them's drinking
there
from a bidet.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. you know, they're
Matt
drinking
Stone
out of,
drinking out of a bidet.
They find a vibrator, and then they find out that it's Britney's mom's.
Oh, yeah.
And then comically large underwear.
Large underwear. Matt Stone finds out as he's swallowing the vibrator.
Yeah.
Basically, he's licking the shit out of that thing. He finds out it's his mom. What I do like about Matt Stone's commitment is... Or Doug Reamer in the movie.
Yeah.
Is one, even though he finds out it's Britney's mom's vibrator.
Yeah.
He finishes licking the fucking thing.
Yeah, he's Steve.
He gives it a few more up and downs. Yeah, he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going all in.
And so we then find out that they're, you know, oh, we're losers, and they're just standing there shooting a basketball. Now you find out
they hit the driveway.
Yeah, they hit the driveway.
With a couple of Coors Banquets.
Right. And you find out that they're very good at free throw shooting.
Yeah.
But they're not good at the rest of basketball.
No.
And so Brittany and two of her jock-ass friends.
Jock-asses, yes.
Yeah, show up and start giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
And I love it. We're not going to play that pussy-ass two-on-two shit
we
play
in the suburbs.
We're gonna play this game. And they make up that we invented
in the hood.
Yeah. And they make it up. It's like horse? No, it's not like horse! Psh! Psh! And so they basically invented like horse because they find out that they invented horse with baseball.
Yeah.
And they invent the psych outs. And one of the best psych outs is, oh man, one of Britney's mom's pubic hairs.
Yep.
Because he finds one in his mouth.
And a brilliant way they discover it is he's literally taking a sip of beer and just spits it at the guy.
Yeah.
That's the first ever psych out in basketball.
Yeah. Just spits a beer at him.
You can't do that. No, we can do whatever we want in the hood.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
I love that he keeps calling it the hood.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want to you.
You two Colorado white boys claiming the hood.
Oh, it's the
over
best.
Over and over
oh,
again.
Oh, it's the best. One of you has the biggest Jufro ever.
Ever.
And the other guy couldn't look more California.
And is so blonde frosted tip motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. It's nonsensical. So then they end up enjoying the game a little bit more. And they kind of develop it.
Well, it becomes almost a drinking game.
Yeah, it becomes a drinking game / a cult following. And somehow this multimillionaire finds a way, like finds it and loves it.
Well, here's actually where the origins of the movie come to be. David Zucker and his friends actually used to play this game.
Okay.
In their driveway. and the local Access TV station started picking it up.
That's so funny.
Okay. And it was originally pitched as an MTV game show, and they shot a pilot of Basketball.
Okay.
Hosted by Chris Rock.
Weird.
I dug deep.
Couldn't find it?
Could not find it. Again, I put it out to you, that movie show audience, go to the dark web and find the pilot for me, please.
Chris Rock has to have it.
He has to have it. But yeah, they shot a pilot with Chris Rock for Basketball. And then because Zucker had an option with Universal, basically a first look option.
Right.
And he was going to do a biopic on Davy Crockett that fell apart. And because he didn't want to lose his contract with Universal, he basically pitched this fucking movie.
That's so funny.
And thus we have Basketball.
Yeah.
So that original scene with them on the driveway doing the original Basketball Cup with Cato Kaelin as the fucking commentator.
Right.
You know, there's a 90s reference for you. That was all based in reality.
Oh, that's so funny. I did not know that.
But yeah.
Pretty exciting.
But yeah, Ernest Borgnine, Academy Award winner, shows up with his Zima and his hula hoops and his Dan Fogelberg and Dan Pac-Man video games as some assholes are dropping off the roof.
Yeah, they're doing the wave and just falling off. He loves it. Because at the beginning of the movie, they show how like sports had gotten crazy.
Commercialized.
Yeah, it's too commercialized, which is weird because this movie's in 1998.
The team's jumping cities with the map, one of my favorite things ever.
It's so funny. My favorite line in that entire thing is, the New Orleans Jazz moved to Utah where they don't allow music.
Where music is outlawed.
And then they also...
The Lakers, where there's no lakes.
Yeah, Minnesota Lakers moved to Los Angeles, where there are no lakes.
The Oakland Raiders moved to Los Angeles and then back to Oakland. Nobody in Los Angeles seemed to notice.
Yeah, nobody cared.
And then it was just a myriad of strings getting bounced around.
Right.
And they showed players bouncing back and forth. You know the
inner sports play.
Inner sports play, the football baseball connection.
Right, and so basically Basketball unites the fan bases.
It
goes back to the roots. And so the big thing is that there are rules where there can't be corporate tie-ins.
Right.
And there can't be... It basically outlaws...
It's pure.
Right, it outlaws a lot of what the issues with major sports are. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get Marquis Solomon, which is a very local reference.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, Bill, you like that.
I got that.
Thank you. That's for...
He looks just like him.
That's the actor that plays the guy in one of those local like law office commercials.
What?
Yeah. That's him.
You're going to have to explain that to both of us.
Okay, so...
I've seen the Marquis Salomon commercial.
Robert
That's not
Vaughn.
That guy, though.
Yeah, Robert Vaughn.
Marquis Salomon's a real guy.
Oh, you mean Robert Vaughn is based on...
So Robert Vaughn...
I think we were thinking the same thing, that he was actually in the movie.
Yeah, no, so Robert Vaughn... Marquis Salomon is not in the movie.
Okay.
Right.
Robert Vaughn...
Baxter Kane.
He plays Baxter Kane, but he did all of the commercials. So he
you're right. He did do a shitload of those things.
So your local and it,
Robert Vaughn did a bunch of those
like law
personal injury lawyer commercials.
Right. And so he did Marquis Salomon, but if you were in a different city, if you were in Florida, he would do like a different lawyer.
So he just kind of
sat in a studio
and
did the same script.
Paste,
wait a
insert
minute.
Name here.
Yep.
So Marquis Salomon's not in his own commercials?
And Marquis Salomon is not in his own commercials.
I always thought there was that guy was
no.
Marquis Salomon.
I thought it was
Robert
too
Vaughn?
Until I saw this movie.
What the heck?
Yeah, Robert Vaughn is the actor, and because it clicked when I saw that same exact commercial in Minnesota, and it was a
different name.
It was a different lawyer.
This was also Robert Vaughn's 100th feature film.
Wow.
They actually had a cake for him and everything.
Wow, good for
him. It was part of a DVD package.
Good for him. But yeah, Baxter Kane wants to change everything so everybody can make millionaire.
Yep.
Can be a millionaire.
Everyone can make millionaire.
Everybody can make
millionaire. I'm the one drinking.
Yeah. It's been a long day.
So yes, Baxter Kane, owner of the Dallas Felons.
Yeah, right. Because they have the best team names.
Oh my god, the teams are phenomenal, and we'll get to more about them. But we start off, we jump forward 5 years, and the Milwaukee Beers,
Yep.
Which, obviously, Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
Versus the Dallas Felons, obviously Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. yeah, obviously.
Are playing in the Denslow Cup because Ernest Borgnine is Ted Denslow.
Yeah, and he created
and he's the grandfather of this sport.
Right. Because he brought it to the masses.
One thing about it, we'll get to Ted Denslow dying. But one thing about the post-game ceremony that I absolutely loved and I wanted to touch on was while what was his name? Baxter Kane's doing his post-game interview, giving the rah-rah speech, also a heartwarming, you know, eulogy for Ted. There's a naked man swinging across the background.
In a jockstrap.
They're all wearing the winner's caps and the winner's t-shirts.
Yeah. Yes.
But then we cut to the beers.
To Matt Stone.
And this is what I wish
they
pro sports did.
They had losers.
They had loser hats and t-shirts. Because every time a team loses a professional championship, whether it's a Stanley Cup, the World Series, the NBA Finals, whatever it is,
right,
you see eventually those pictures in the third world countries of those kids wearing like the 2011 Vancouver Canucks Stanley Cup championship.
Yeah, right, right. It's nonsensical.
This would be awesome.
It would be so funny.
If you had to sit in a branded, because they're sponsored,
right,
the fucking teams would have to wear them.
Yep.
A loser hat.
Yeah, oh, so funny. It was so good.
That
funny.
Would make my life so happy.
Another thing that I find to be hilarious is there are three people that play in this sport at any given time, but there's like 10 people on this team.
Okay, and that's one of the things I wanted to get to. The quote-unquote bench players.
Yeah.
And they actually make a joke because they say, coming up next is Doug Reamer and blah, 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 and Squeak. And
Cooper.
Coop Cooper. And coming up next inning, the same three fucking guys.
Yeah.
The bench players are the same actors for each team.
That's funny.
And those actors, quote-unquote actors, are the guys that David Zucker played basketball with originally in his driveway.
That's good.
He got his buddies together, and he's like, I'm just going to make you the bench players for every team. So that's why you see him wearing fake mustaches and shit
that's so funny.
But it's all the same guys team.
That's good. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Fun facts.
That is a very fun fact. Yeah, so Ted Denslow dies.
Yeah.
He chokes on a hot dog.
Choking on a hot dog with his smoking hot 3-month wife, Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, Jenny McCarthy. And so
forget her name, Jenny McCarthy.
So through a very, very funny eulogy scene, Coop inherits the team.
Fantastic funeral.
It is. It's
I wish I had been invited.
It's
to
so
a
funny
like
because
this.
We also meet what's her name?
Jenna.
And there's a little bit of a love triangle going on between Coop, Reamer, and Jenna.
Jenna Reed runs the foundation for the sick and dying kids.
Yeah, Make-A-Wish, but not Make-A-Wish.
The non-Make-A-Wish. Basically, the foundation for sick and dying kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. We say
one of which is really a Joe Cooper fan,
right? And she doesn't like it because sports guys are so fleeting and all this other stuff. And it's so funny because he's at the will reading, and Reamer shows up with a huge bouquet.
Oh,
he shows up and he's like, "What are you doing?"
A huge RIP bouquet.
Yeah. And so he's like, this is the will reading. The funeral was yesterday. And he goes, oh, Jenna, I got these for you. He just hands her this big giant bouquet that just says rest in peace.
Reamer always trying to one-up with Jenna. When they meet outside the arena for the first time, he has literally a arena pretzel with packets of mustard.
Yeah.
And he goes, here you go, Jenna. Here's a pretzel and mustard. I baked it myself.
Yeah, right.
It's like you might as well have stapled the Beers logo on it.
I love kids. You don't love kids. You love Taco Bell.
No. I
love
this really, really hot chick at this hostel one time. It's hostel in Europe. Hits a blind kid with a basketball.
Yeah, hits a blind kid with a basketball. Very funny.
Doug Reamer, worst human being possibly ever.
It's very funny, and that's a very fun thing that we end up finding throughout the entire, like, the first and second act of this movie, is that it kind of drives a wedge between the two of them, because Baxter Kane ends up trying to get Reamer to be a person that will get Coop to side with him so that he can change the rules of basketball, but Coop wants to keep it pure.
Right. Which brings us to his trophy room.
Yes. Where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is just there.
And Siegfried and Roy, too.
Yes.
Siegfried and Roy are there, but it's the actual Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's not the actual Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah. Right.
But it's the actual Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
It's so funny.
One of those things, it's like, if you don't remember that, yeah, David Zucker did Airplane and Naked Gun, you forget that Kareem is one of his, like,
guys.
One of his stock guys.
Yeah, Kareem's totally going to do
it. It's like Kareem is in the Rolodex.
Yeah, he's just going to do it. It's so funny.
Ty Cobb's bat. Gets thrown
into the fire.
Did I fart? One of the best lines that keeps getting repeated over and over.
Every single time Baxter Cade can't handle something, somebody just goes, did I fart?
Did I fart?
Did I fart?
Reamer can't break 20 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're jumping way ahead.
Right. Well, there's a lot of weird nonsense that kind of happens in the middle.
Yeah.
But that's the big thing. The big thing is that he's trying to force them apart, and for the most part, it does end up working.
Mm-hmm.
Reamer ends up getting fancy and starting to, like, have his own clothing line and stuff through, like...
So we're jumping right into that.
Yeah, might as well.
All right. So, Dom. His name is Doug Reamer, by the way.
Yeah.
And Baxter's like, Dom, may I call you Dom? He's like, no. I'm like, Dom.
Yeah,
and the best part is he continues to call him Dom rest of the movie.
Yeah, whole movie.
Every interaction is
it's
Dom.
Yeah, he does not get his name right.
So he can't break 20 bucks. So he issues, he basically pitches him this idea for, you know, expansion and clothing lines and stuff.
Yeah, and how everything, basically just turning it into a regular sports league.
Right. And at first pitch, they're reluctant.
Yeah.
Then they, I don't want to jump too far ahead, because this happens after the hospital scene.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
All that does happen.
Because he pitches Trey Parker first. He pitches Cooper first.
Yeah, and Cooper says no.
And Cooper's like, just, you know, fuck off.
Yeah, no, that's not why we do this game. And that's my favorite, like, throwaway line that nobody talks about.
No, this is what you said. Yeah.
And so he says that, no, this goes against every reason we created this game in the first place. And it's so funny because at the beginning of the game, the movie, they create this game to win 50 bucks and show up a couple of fucking...
Like, to try to get laid.
Yeah, just to try and get laid. Not to, like... save sports.
No, there was no pure sports aspect
at all.
He was a drunk pissing in a bush that wanted to own a sports bar, get 50 bucks, and bang some hot chick from high school.
Yeah, right. That's literally what it was. That's the reason they started this game, is to, we don't have 20 bucks. So how about 50 bucks? We don't have 50 bucks.
We don't have 20 bucks.
We don't have 20 bucks. But that's why. And it's that tickles me every time. And I know it's just because I've seen this movie so many times that dawns on me, but that always gets me. And so they also go on the road trip during this scene.
Yep.
And we find the informants. And there's just so many.
The teams are fantastic.
They really are.
The Jersey team
informants.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
With that guy from Lost and from Force Awakens on it. I forget his name.
Yeah. I also want to say...
He's like J.J. Abrams, like, good luck charm.
Right.
I forget his fucking name. I'll find it on IMDb while you talk.
Yeah. And so they have that one. They have the ferries.
Yeah, the San Francisco
ferries.
The San Francisco ferries. The
How
Alamos.
To speak San Franciscan. Vagina.
Yeah.
Was it a gay joke?
That's not a gay joke. It's an Australian joke.
It's not a gay joke. It's an Australian joke.
They did the Area 51 aliens.
Roswell aliens.
On
anal probe night.
Yep. Shocking.
It's really funny how everything is a night.
Yeah, of course.
There's always a night,
that's minor league sports for you.
Yeah, right.
Greg Grunberg. Was the guy I was thinking of.
Was he the cop in Heroes?
I never saw Heroes. You would recognize him, though.
Yeah, I think
he was. Like I said, he's J.J. Abrams.
Who was he in Force Awakens?
He was a pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm
pretty sure he. Did you ever see Heroes?
Pull this up.
This
guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was part of the informants.
Right. And so, is it during this scene or is it the Make-A-Wish Day that they fall through, somebody falls through the garage door.
No, that was definitely the Make-A-Wish Day. That was
okay.
That was so Joe Cooper's third home, second of three home runs.
Yes. So basically, it's Joey's. It's Joey's like dying wish because he had a few
that didn't really pan out.
I want to have
some were not so nice.
He wants to have sex with Chelsea Clinton.
That's the least of the problems.
Which is the funniest thing.
He wants to throw flesh-eating piranhas into a public swimming pool.
He wants to go big game hunting like a panda.
Yep.
Bald eagle.
He wants to kill a bald eagle. Eat a bald eagle.
Yeah, and it was just like, nope. Then I want to spend a day with the Beers.
Yeah.
And so they
which probably is worse than any one of those things.
Yeah, right. And it's so funny because they end up going and doing a shot while watching Jerry Springer.
Fun fact: I actually remember seeing that Jerry Springer on his first run.
Oh, really?
Yep. I remember that because I remember watching this in the theater in '98, and I remember like, holy shit! I remember that.
That's pretty funny.
I saw that exact Jerry Springer with the black family. And it's not my daughter-in-law, it's my son's wife or some shit like that. That woman, I remembered.
That's so
funny.
And
they fought all half hour.
That's so funny.
The whole fucking half hour was just brawling.
There's also a really funny thing in this because they're still competing for Jenna's affection.
Yes.
In this. And at one point, they're
mowing the lawn.
They're mowing the lawn.
Why bagging the leaves.
Changing the oil.
Yeah, it's so funny. They end up at the bar and they're drinking. And it's so funny because Reamer keeps upping the home runs.
Yes.
Because it starts, can you just hit a home run for me?
Scoop Cooper, we're talking about. Fucking three home runs. And he's like, do another shot of tequila, kid.
And he's like, can I talk to you for a second? And then it's just the background. He's just slamming his head with the bar door.
Yeah, Joe's a major dude.
Oh, God. so funny.
While Squeak starts hitting on the tranny.
Yeah, and this is where we get the tranny
for
the first time. Which, that's a dude.
Yep.
Look at her soft, supple Adam's apple. But we end up at the game. They're shit-faced.
Oh, yeah.
They're absolutely shit-faced. And Cooper hits his second of three home runs.
Yep.
And it's really funny because he falls through the garage door, and it's just somebody's garage.
It really is.
It's so funny to me.
The fact they didn't just make it an empty prop door.
Right.
But they dressed the inside of the garage.
Inside the garage. It's just somebody's garage. It was like a paint can. Yeah. And it's very funny. And so he ends up missing the third home run.
Obviously.
And that gets to the scene that they ripped for Scary Movie. Yep. That we talked about earlier.
Yep.
And
by the way, I watched this today on DVD. I had no idea until this scene, how intricate the surround sound was in this movie.
Oh, really?
The shocks from the paddles that George Clooney uses.
Yeah, get the George Clooney heart
paddles. Clooney paddles.
The George Clooney heart paddles.
So when he zaps him, the goddamn zap went in all seven speakers.
Really?
That's
it went
cool.
Zzz, 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 like all around. And I'm sitting there like, wow!
That's fun.
And it did it four times. I'm like, this is really fun.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
The rest of it was just the front speaker, but that one sound effect went all around the goddamn room.
Sound effect?
It was hilarious.
And so...
They murder a child.
They murder a child and bring him back to life.
A couple of times.
And Gen X shows up at their house because they all live together, which is very, very funny. And it's like there's some terrorists dressed up as Beers players that attacked the hospital.
So Joe's watching. He was trying to watch the game with the Reggie Jackson
to reminisce.
Game. Yeah, he was trying to watch the Reggie Jackson game, and somebody taped over it with roadkill.
Caught on tape. Which is so
90s.
So 90s and so stupid. It's so dumb. Oh.
By the way, there's so many memes created out of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody realizes that. The aw, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, derp.
Yeah.
D-E-R-P. Derp. Yes. You've seen it on a meme.
Yep.
Was created in this movie.
Yeah.
And then taken to South Park.
Right.
This was the first occurrence in pop culture where Derp was referenced.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of...
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Only $7 million? Come on.
Mr. Garrison shows up in this movie.
He does.
Cartman shows...
Doug Raymer cares about cads.
Yeah, Doug Raymer cares. Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, so then this is where we get the full separation because Raymer ends up siding with
Baxter Kane
to try and make some money
for the beers line.
And we get the Scat Man. We get the Scat Man.
So many montages in this movie, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And everything's kind of going to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to shit, and then we get another montage where it's the Cooper Sucks song. And your good friend thinks you suck.
One of my favorite things about this movie, and it actually is on a heavy rotation on my shuffle in my car.
So funny.
By the band DVDA.
Okay.
Which is actually Matt Stone and Trey Parker's band.
Okay.
So that's actually Trey Parker singing.
Yes.
To Trey Parker.
Oh, yes.
In the car.
Oh, well, that's part of...
Life is going out of control. It's just that 80s fucking...
Yeah.
You're going to need a mounter.
Yes, exactly. You've heard them on South Park.
Oh, yeah. It's very funny. And it basically narrates the whole thing. And so Coop just disappears.
And goes to Calcutta.
He goes to Calcutta.
Because he hears... Actually, we kind of skipped over a second. But there was a scene in the locker room.
Oh, that's right. Where they have huge dicks.
They have... Yeah, they have about 6.5-foot dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually, because of the way scheduling was, that was Yasmin Bleeth's first shoot on the day.
That's so funny.
So she walks in, and she's presented with her co-stars butt naked.
Yeah.
And they just didn't give a fuck.
No.
Did not give a fuck. Longwanger. Frobbingcock.
Yeah, right.
And so we realized that... that there's child labor happening in Calcutta for the Beers line of clothing. Beers wear.
It's not good.
So Joe Cooper goes over there. He has a little turban hard hat.
Yeah, he has a turban hard hat. It's pretty funny. And so he's going to go and solve the problems.
Mm.
That's basically what's going to happen. But while that's going on, the Denslow Cup
is still happening.
Is happening.
Season is on, babe.
Right. And so he's disappeared, and we get to solve a mystery or whatever it's called.
Unsolved crimes.
Unsolved mysteries.
Robert Stack shows up.
With Robert Stack.
Robert Stack.
He shows up.
That was my favorite part about this movie, is all those random celebrity cameos.
But if you think about it.
But they fit perfectly.
They're all Zucker guys.
Oh, yeah.
He was an airplane.
But I'm talking more like
was airplane.
I'm talking more like the Dan Patrick, Kenny Mayne, Al Michaels, all those guys.
Yeah, they did a great job bringing all the sports people in.
While we got it for a second. Because Bob Costas and Al Michaels provided the commentary for all of this, all of the games.
And Tim McCarver.
Right. Tim McCarver was fantastic. While my gut wants to say Al Michaels is one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah.
Reading what happened during the filming of this is like, well, Al Michaels is kind of a cunt.
Yeah.
So he realized that Bob Costas was getting paid, I believe, $35,000 more than him, and sued the company while filming.
Oh.
Both of them only worked for one day.
Really?
One day. So he sued the company for $60,000.
Oh.
Huh.
And got his money.
That's stupid.
It is what it is.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I guess. It's tough because it's like, you're doing literally the same amount of work as the guy sitting next to you.
Right.
He's getting $35,000 more.
Right.
But that's on your agent, dude.
Right.
That's kind of like the Michelle Williams, Mark Wahlberg thing with that movie. It's like, it's not Mark Wahlberg's fault that you got paid, scale and per diem, and he got $1.5 million.
Right.
It's your fucking agent's fault for being a shitty negotiator.
Yeah, that sucks.
But that happened. So he sued for $60,000 for one day of work.
Yeah. All right.
But it is what it is. But it's still funny as fuck.
Oh, it is.
Al Michaels, funny as fuck.
They crushed it.
They absolutely crushed
it. They crushed it. In the trailer
I would have thrown him an extra $10,000 just for the fun.
Yeah. You're excited. Feel these nipples.
And again, that's a line that I think I would have laughed harder if it wasn't in the trailer.
Right. Yeah. Well, the
trailer fucking ruined that.
So here's the thing. I watched this movie, didn't see the trailer. And so that line came out of nowhere for me. And it was amazing.
Good. It was a good one.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so halfway they're getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
At the Denslow Cup. And we end up having the reconciliation over the Lagoon of Peace.
The Lagoon of Peace, yeah.
Because for some odd reason, they have some sort of halftime show.
It's a seventh inning stretch, man. You got to have a Denslow Cup. You got to have a big to-do.
Right, and it's so funny.
You got Skippy, Lucky, whatever the fuck his name is with his fireworks. And the Dallas Felons playing the White Oppressors. And
yep.
The Milwaukee Beers playing the, you know.
The Downtrodden Islanders. The
Savages. And you got the Lagoon of Peace.
The Lagoon of Peace. And their Lucky Pineapple.
Yep.
Little Bitch. Little Squeak.
Squeak.
Squeak. Squeak. Why is it?
Little Bitch Scolari.
Why is it so fucked up that I date his sister?
Squeak. Little Bitch Scolari.
But it's great. They end
have
up.
Have we talked about the dude scene yet? Is that past?
That
happens here.
Oh, no.
Dude. The word dude was spoken 98 times in
really?
This movie. Yes.
That's fun.
Yeah. Which is funny because usually in these R-rated movies, we get the fuck count.
Yeah.
Fuck is only said 19 times.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, 19 fucks, 98 dudes.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's a very dude-centric
movie.
Well,
it also just shows you that you don't need a high fuck count to make a very
funny
movie.
To have a fun R-rated movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because when dude is said more than fuck, that's...
98 fucking dudes.
Yeah. 98 dudes. Wow, that's a lot of dudes.
There was a lot of dudes one.
That's a lot of dudes.
It says, let me see. I think it said 21 times in this exact conversation. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, they go back and forth. It's very funny.
Fun fact about the Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. All but one of the computers in the background are playing solitaire.
Yeah.
The one computer not playing solitaire is playing Mist by Cyan.
Okay. Right. Yeah, okay. That checks out.
There you go.
That checks out.
So we're here.
And so it's...
So we're back from Calcutta.
Yeah, we're back from Calcutta. It's time for the halftime show. Basically, there's a huge, huge speech by Little Bitch Squeak Scolari.
I think we haven't talked about Jenny McCarthy enough.
Yeah. Well,
she was fantastic in this.
She was fantastic in this.
That's a bold statement to say Jenny McCarthy was fantastic in the movie, but she was fantastic in this.
She was. Well, the sexual innuendo with her character.
So great.
She was great.
Yeah.
The sexual innuendo
laying
with her
carpet,
character.
Polishing the trailer hitch.
Yeah, the buffing the lobby.
Buffing the lobby.
If you know what I mean.
Fucking awesome.
It's unreal. It's so
and
funny.
She nailed it.
Yeah, she did a very good job.
She fucking nailed it, including pulling Ty Cobb's autographed bat out of the fire and saying, did I fart?
Yeah, did I fart?
Fucking God bless Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, and then at
Excuse
the end...
Excuse me, Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg.
And then it's so funny at the end of that movie where she just goes, you know what I just realized? I don't fucking like you.
I fucking hate you. Kiss these puppies goodbye.
Oh, it's so very funny. And then ends up with Reamer at the end.
Again.
For no reason.
As we mentioned upstairs, the use of comedic tongue kissing is awesome.
Is awesome. Yeah.
There is so much, including the Lagoon of Peace.
Yep, because after Little Bitch Squeak Scolari and his pineapple of truth or
his
luck.
Pineapple of truth.
Yeah, he ends up like basically being like, you're tearing me apart and you got to get back together. So they end up just, Coop and Reamer just start hardcore making out.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hardcore.
Again, God bless these guys. They went all in.
Oh yeah, they were all in.
They were not skimping on the comedy, and it's like it could have been very easy for these two dudes to just be like,
nail it in.
We're just gonna kiss each other, you know.
Yeah, right.
No,
we're gonna go for it.
They tongue the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, they fucking went for it.
Like I'm watching that, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, as an actor, could I do that?
Yeah.
God, I'd really have to. Really go for that.
Yeah, you gotta really do it. You gotta really like your dude.
A couple extra zeros on that one.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they really went in on that one.
Yes.
Best friends going tongue to balls.
Tongue deep.
Tongue deep.
Yeah, and so then after that, they've reconciled and everything's great. And we have the comeback. They mount the comeback against the Dallas Felons.
I believe it's called the Semen Back.
Yeah,
I botched that one.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll take that hit.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, sure.
Keep going.
Yeah, the joke didn't land.
Yep, nope, not at all.
Yeah.
I knew it when I said it when I started
Yeah.
Good. Come back.
All right.
Good.
So this is when we also get the end of the unsolved mysteries, and Jenna realizes that Cooper's a good guy because
we still have no fucking idea where this guy is.
Yeah. Even
but
though,
the unsolved. Okay. Let's talk about the unsolved mysteries before we jump to the end of the movie, because this is basically the end of the movie.
Yeah, it is.
The unsolved mysteries. One of my biggest laughs is when he says, and now from so-and-so, a nosy bitch down the street.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, God damn, that's funny.
Yeah, right, right. I also,
Coop left with a steamer trunk and a bag of weed or something like that. It's like,
yeah.
God damn, that's funny.
It's so funny. I also, if I could be his girlfriend, I'd love him. And just,
they throw water on him.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I would kiss him passionately by the river.
Yeah. Yeah, he just goes on this tirade about how great of a guy he is to just get Jenna to realize that she loves him.
I don't care where he is. I hope he's hanging by his fucking net in the closet.
Oh.
This is
scenario one. Yeah. Coop is hanging by his fucking neck in the closet, and it's just some old dude smoking.
Yeah, right. He's clearly okay just smoking. It was so nonsensical.
If you want to find Joe Cooper, you find the most vile displace of children ever. Scenario two, Coop went to Disneyland. Thanks, Universal. We appreciate that one.
Yeah, what a shot.
Wow, Universal can't stop fucking with Disney in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we had the Jurassic Park thing last time, which is, by the way, available in the archives, UHinsiders.com.
Right.
And now this.
Well, I talked about this on
Universal keeps taking shots.
They do. They do, which
is... What that says to me? You always take shots at number one, baby. Yeah, Disney, bitch!
Yeah, you gotta shoot up the mountain. Well, I talked about this on For the Pops, which you can listen to right now.
Go on.
For the Pops, Universal Studios in Orlando, they don't own any of the properties that are in their fucking theme park.
No, and they're getting rid of the ones that they did. They got rid of Jaws. They got rid of Back to the Future.
Right.
They got rid of...
Because they don't own Harry Potter.
No,
they also don't own Nintendo, which is going to be huge for them.
No, I always find it funny when Harry Potter airs on Disney Channel.
I know, it's very funny. It's like, on,
really?
Yeah,
because they got that big ass land across the street there, bro.
Yeah, it's just making you think and associate. But so it ends. So we're at the final out of the Denslow Cup.
Yeah,
and
Denslow Cup V.
Yeah, Denslow Cup 5. We're only 5 in.
He calls it Denzel Cup V.
Yes, he does.
Al Michaels.
Yeah. The other part that we haven't talked about is Lazy Boy.
We've never talked about Lazy Boy. We don't talk about the fact that Dale Earnhardt plays the taxi driver
for no reason,
and pretty much his only movie appearance
ever,
and he's playing himself.
Yeah. He's just.
I think he died a couple years later.
It was 2001. He died. So
yeah,
it was 3 years later.
Pretty much 3 years later.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, Lazy Boy. He basically makes a basketball baseball out of. He makes a basketball baseball out of a leather chair out of the couch, which is very funny.
Fun fact about the press tour, they did it in Lazy Boys.
Oh, great!
So the bonus features on a DVD, all the interviews, they're singing Lazy Boy chants.
Great.
There you go.
And then Little Joey shows up with his own custom-made Lazy Boy ball.
Yeah, because he's his hero.
He's his hero, and everybody, and we get the sports cliche movie at the end. There end up, it mirrors the championship game that Denslow found them playing,
mm-hmm.
where it's the, you know, the fake, or the almost double play
mm-hmm.
into the conversion for the win.
Yeah.
And so we have the happy, happy ending.
Apparently the celebration salute that Reamer, Coop, and Squeak do after the beers won the Denslow Cup is called the Mile High Salute. It was based on the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
Because obviously they're from Colorado.
From Colorado.
Big Broncos fans.
Yeah. Yes. And so
and then we
finally
get
Coop gets
the big appearance.
He gets to meet Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson of Naked Gun fame.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
See what I mean? They're all fucking Zucker guys.
Yeah. They are.
Every time you're like, wow, good get. It's like, no, dude, he was in his phone.
Yeah, he called him. He had him.
He had Kareem and Reggie on the fucking jump. He's like, I need you.
Yeah, I need you in this.
This movie's going to make only $7 million. I need as much fucking star power.
Yeah, as I could possibly get. It's also really funny because he talks about Reggie Jackson. Coop talks about Reggie Jackson earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And he refers to him as Mr. October.
Yep.
And then the Chippendales calendar. He goes, no, that was Dwayne Zakamore.
Dwayne Zakamore from the Chippendales calendar, yeah.
Which is so funny.
Good reference.
Great reference. It would only be better if, and I don't know if this is true,
mm-hmm.
but if that was the character from the SNL sketch with Chris Farley.
Oh, God, I wish.
Do you know how...
Let me Google real quick.
Because I also have never Googled Dwayne Zakamore, but I assume that it's a real Chippendales dancer. Whereas it would be so goddamn funny if Dwayne Zakamore was Chris Farley's character from that Chippendales sketch with Patrick Swayze.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah, well, that was it. That was it on that.
Oh, okay.
But so Reggie Jackson, he ends up meeting him, and he hands back deflated Lazy Boy. And he's like, here, you want to hold on to these things? And he goes, I got the first two home runs, but some wretched little shit got away with the third one. And he's just like, oh, man, that sucks. I got to go back and celebrate with my team. Hey, Coop. And Coop just turns around and screams.
I don't have your fucking ball.
I don't have your fucking ball. It's so goddamn funny because, of course, he does.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Yeah, let's grab a hot dog soon.
Oh, God. It's so funny.
I think Dwayne Zakamore is just a made-up name.
Yeah, probably.
It looks that way. I'm not getting anything on it.
Yeah, I would assume so because it was either going to be...
Yeah.
It was either going to be Chris Farley.
Be there or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, so
It's not there.
That's unfortunate. But, yeah, and so they end up going around the track and everybody celebrates with the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes out in the end. Squeak gets his transsexual lover.
Yep.
And everybody goes home happy.
Trey gets a Yasmin Beef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yasmin Beef.
Very fun. Very fun. And then
I love it.
Yeah. And then the movie.
And one of the rare comedy post-credit scenes. Did you know about? Oh, look at his face.
Oh.
Mister, I've seen this movie a million times.
I don't think I've ever watched through the credits.
Doesn't know there's a post-credit scene where Bob Costas and Al Michaels make out.
Okay. No, I did know that.
Okay.
I did know that.
Dude.
Yes.
Dude. They reenact the dude.
Dude, and then they just make out.
And they make out.
Yes.
So you did know that. Have you seen it, or did you Google it?
No, I've definitely seen it before, but I definitely haven't seen it often. I definitely forgot that it was a thing.
I bet he saw it on IFC where they moved the post-credit scenes up to the front of the credits.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
Probably.
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 Probably. Yeah. Basketball! 1998. Gotta love it.
I love it. I'm also a huge fan of the movie that was right before this with these two.
Mm-hmm.
Orgasmo.
I am a huge fan of Orgasmo. I actually watched it a couple weeks ago on my deck.
Yeah, we're gonna have to watch Orgasmo on this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do Orgasmo. There is very few things about Trey and Matt that I am not a fan of. Like,
right.
I'd have to think really hard to think of it.
Yeah.
Cannibal the Musical. One
very
of
fun.
Their first movie out of college. Awesome. Bought by Troma.
Yeah.
Orgasmo, their second feature film. Fantastic spoof on Mormons. And basically, it was almost like the catalyst of
Book of Mormon. Yeah.
Also involving the porn industry. This movie, Basketball, obviously South Park. Book of Mormon, I saw last year at the Wang Center.
Team America.
What I do find about Matt and Trey is... Because they're so, this is just me spitballing on their thought process. Because they're so comfortable with their South Park schedule.
Right.
Every time you see them interviewed about a movie, they seem extremely pissed off.
Yeah.
They're like, this was the worst experience of our lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's like, oh, we got to like work really, really hard.
I mean, this movie alone, there was interviews on the DVD where they talked about, because they thought that South Park was going to be canceled.
Right.
They're like, okay, so we had to get up at 5 a.m., do 14 hours on this movie, then go and do South Park.
Right.
At night.
Right.
Then sleep for maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. Repeat.
Do this movie.
Repeat.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, too, is that through all of these processes, they've never stopped South Park.
Right.
And I think that that's a part of it too, where it's
and
like,
it's also why and people will complain about, you know, the gap in South Park seasons these days.
Right.
Because they take about a year in between, but it's like, yeah, it takes a fucking lot of work to do that shit.
Right. Well, the other thing too is
and they are still doing Book of Mormon. They're still touring with that shit.
Right.
It's coming back to Boston this year.
Well, you have to ask yourself what do you want? Because that Coon and Friends season wasn't the best. It wasn't the best, and when they were like really making Book of Mormon and really like touring with it and everything.
Well, they've also said that when they try to do like story arc seasons,
right?
Like the one they did with Trump, with Mr. Garrison, they're like, yeah, that didn't work.
No,
we're better off doing one off episodes and just doing pop culture-y type shit, right, instead of like trying to build a whole story arc across a season.
Right.
That's not their forte.
It's
not their forte.
But they definitely, there was a dip in quality when they were focusing on Book of Mormon.
You can tell, exactly.
Yeah, and then Book of Mormon was on its own, and it was standing up, and it was fine, and you saw them reinvest, and
they won fucking Tony Awards.
Oh, yeah, yes.
They were nominated for an Oscar for the fucking movie with the song.
Yes.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, they had Robin Williams sing Blame Canada on the Oscar, the actual Oscars.
Yeah.
Because they were nominated for it.
Yep.
If you haven't seen it, go fucking YouTube that shit. Robin Williams singing Blame Canada from South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut. It's fucking phenomenal.
It's very funny. And so, yeah, they're very good at what they do when they put their mind to it.
Right.
You know, and I would love to see more movies. But, you know, they decide.
Contracts are what they are.
Right.
And money is what it is.
Right. You know. Well, and it's also.
I mean, even after when they did Team America, they would just. I remember seeing, like, when they did press after it, they're like, I never want to do a fucking movie again.
Yeah.
Because the puppet shit took so long.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also
like, you want to talk acting in basketball. This is now.
Yeah, well, I think the puppetry, I think they weren't
26-hour days.
Yeah, I don't think they realized what that was going to be like. You know, they thought it was going to be funnier and easier, but
it wasn't.
It was not.
It was funny?
Oh, it was a very funny movie.
Very funny movie. But yeah. Easy? No, I would not wish that on my worst enemies.
Yeah, no. So, there it is, basketball.
Basketball, we will be doing more of the Trey Parker, Matt Stone variety on this show down the road. Let us know what you think about it, and let us know what you want us to do next. At Mike Went, at Liam NEI, at Bill Neville. But coming up next week, because July 4th is one of my favorite holidays, we're going to do one of my favorite fictional holidays?
Sure.
The Purge.
The Purge.
I am a full-on proponent of the Purge. I think it should be instituted. I think it should happen. I think Donald Trump is the guy to institute it. He's the right guy. He's got enough of the downplay that we can absolutely get the Purge going.
Okay.
So we're going to get Donald Trump on the show next week.
Yeah, yes. That's the big get. We got him on the show, the President of the United States.
Here's the thing. We need your support. So tweet at Donald J. Trump and tell him to come on that movie show and talk about The Purge. Wrong graphic, Bill.
It wouldn't switch. I finally got it to switch over.
There we go.
All right. I'm also
because
really
that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Yes. I'm also really surprised that we aren't doing Independence Day.
It's too on the nose.
I love Independence Day.
Because like last week I said we were going to do Jaws, Independence Day. Yeah. It's just too on the nose.
Yeah, sure.
We also need a bigger audience for that.
Yeah.
So we might do a live show for those.
Okay,
when we get a bigger audience.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
But this week we're doing The Purge. Excuse me, next week we're doing The Purge. But we need you to, like I said, tweet at Donald J. Trump and get him
on the show.
That movie show to talk about the new America. The Purge.
Yes.
What we can do to purge America on that movie show.
Bye, everybody.